Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining the show right now, Mike Puma, who covers the New York, covers the Mets for the New York Post. Mike, Al Cintron in New York, how are you?
I'm all right tonight. How are you guys doing?
It's a little monsoon out here. How's the weather in Florida?
Very humid today, about 88 degrees, but I think it's going to get down to back down to normal tomorrow, maybe 78, 79, something like that.
Yeah, it's a monsoon out here tonight, just straight downpours, so you're lucky right now. What's the biggest difference you notice with this clubhouse in spring training compared to last year's clubhouse in spring training?
Well, I mean, it's just been the mixture of young guys that have been, you know, there's more young guys in there than, you know, last year was such a veteran group. And, this year it was tangible from the moment you first walked in there, and especially when they had the prospects over here. Now they reassigned them in recent days, but you know, guys like Gilbert and Jet Williams and Acuna were over here, and they kind of brought a vibrancy to the room. And you can tell this year that they want to get a look at some of these young guys at some point. It probably won't be right away, but as the season goes on, I think we're going to get to see a couple of them, whether it's a guy like Drew Gilbert later in the summer, or if it's one of the young pitchers, Mike Vassell or Christian Scott. I think that's probably been the biggest difference this spring, is just the number of young guys intertwined in there.
Now, you mentioned the young guys. If you had to place a bet, like, who do you think would be the first one, that's the top guy on the list that you'd see first?
Well, I think Mike Vassell's probably the closest as somebody who got to Syracuse last year. And he could be a consideration for the rotation at some point. Now, you know, to get there, you're going to need probably some injuries. And already Senga is down, but the way Tylor McGill has pitched, it looks like he's the front runner right now to claim that spot in the rotation. But, you know, I would think a Mike Vassell or Drew Gilbert is going to open the year at Syracuse, and if he gets off to a good start, he could be a guy that we see up here at midseason. So, they're getting closer with some of these guys. You know, last year, you had Ronnie Mauricio came up at the end of the year, and you know, we saw a lot of Vientos and Beatty, and obviously Alvarez. But, we're starting to see slowly but surely more of the young talent trickling through a little bit.
Now, you mentioned Senga. I had John Heyman on last week, and he said that he expects Senga to be back in May. Do you agree with that, or it's a, you know, wait and see?
Yeah, well, he's got to resume throwing. He hasn't even gotten to that point yet. That's probably about another a week away, maybe a little less than a week away, that he's supposedly going to start throwing again, and then you got to go from there. But, you know, the best case scenario, I would say right now is early May, but until he gets out there and starts ramping up again, and, you know, we're not going to know what he's feeling in his shoulder until he starts doing it.
Now, I know the Mets have a new manager this year, Carlos Mendoza. Have you noticed a difference in leadership between Buck and Mendoza, and what are those differences?
It's just two different styles. Buck was an older manager. He had a lot of respect based on his track record. Could command a room because of that. I think Carlos Mendoza is younger. This is his first job, but you know, and the word he's used seems like 1,000 times since spring training started, and it's really his hallmark. It's communication, and he talks about wanting to be on the same page with these guys, and he's getting to know them. And, you know, this is his first time around with them, obviously. He seems comfortable. Let's just put it that way. For a first-time manager and doing it in New York, he's got the air of somebody who's been doing this a little bit. Now, how that will translate once the season starts, we'll have to see. But so far, I think the reviews are pretty good on him.
Yeah, we'll see how he handles his first 3-game losing streak.
Exactly. It was the first time he brings in the wrong reliever in the seventh inning.
I think him being with the Yankees for so long also helps. He knows what you have to get done in this town. So this that helped big time. So that's why
it's not like you brought in the bench coach from the Seattle Mariners or something like that. You brought in the guy who was sitting next to Aaron Boone the last few years and kind of knows the territory here.
So who has stood out for you the most this spring training on this Mets roster?
Who has stood out the most? You know, the one thing I look at is just the way Starling Marte has been effortless out there in the outfield. And I just got back to camp yesterday after a week. Back at home a week off, but before I left, the last game he played down here, he bunted for a hit to lead off the game, and then threw out a runner at third base, and you know he looked great. That was kind of the wow moment I think of the spring was that one inning there where he was running down the first baseline to beat out a bunt hit and throwing out a guy at third. He's looked good, and I think that's, if not the most promising thing, it's right up there right now. He's looked good physically out there. The other thing is the starting pitchers have now, it's early, and I think – probably generally the pitchers are ahead of the hitters at this point, but Luis Severino certainly looked good in his two starts, and Sean Manaea was good today. The big thing obviously is going to be the health with that rotation, but right now, other than Senga, with the setback with the shoulder, they have that help.
Yeah, I said the same thing. If Starling Marte is bunting in spring training games, he's got to be feeling good.
Yeah, and that, think about what that means for the lineup. If you have the Starling Marte of 2022, and he was such an instrumental part of that club, and then last year he had the physical setbacks, only played about half the games. We didn't even see him for the last couple of months of the season. But if he's anything close to what he was 2 years ago, it makes a huge difference for this lineup.
Now, speaking of Starling Marte, if the rumors are true, I mean, it came out that they spoke to Nimmo maybe about possibly moving him down. How realistic is that? And would Starling Marte end up being the leadoff hitter?
Yeah, Carlos Mendoza kind of poured cold water on that idea today, saying basically if everybody's healthy, Nimmo's his leadoff hitter. And, I think he had some, conversations at the start of camp with Nimmo just to see how he felt about the idea, just kind of gauging all options right now. But the big thing is, and Mendoza brought this up today, was, you look at Nimmo's on-base percentage. This is a guy who's got a .380 lifetime on-base percentage. That's hard to replace. You know, if you move Marte or, even Lindor up into that spot, you're really potentially sacrificing a lot of on-base percentage there. So it doesn't sound like it's something that's going to happen right away here if everybody's healthy. Maybe it's something they revisit down the line if the lineup is struggling at some point. But Mendoza kind of made it clear today, if everybody's healthy, that Nimmo's his leadoff hitter.
Well, I'm glad they cleared that up. And if you move Lindor to leadoff, that's a big hole in the middle of the lineup power-wise as well.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. You know, you start messing with that. You put in there's not a lot of power in this lineup. Potentially there's some power there with Alvarez and, obviously Alonso, but I don't think you want to be putting Lindor right up at the top with that.
Tyler McGill, he's had his good stretches here and he's had his terrible stretches here. So far he's been fantastic in spring training, but to me, I got to see that in April, May, and June. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and, the thing with McGill is we saw him as a rookie. He was pretty good for his team. And then in 22, he got off to the terrific start over the first 4 or 5 weeks until he went on the injured list. And this might be just a case of he's finally feeling good physically again after a while. And we saw it late last year. He looked pretty good when he came back up at the end of last year. But, even before camp started, talking to team officials in the offseason, they were raving about what McGill was doing this winter and improving on his pitches. And adding that splitter has certainly helped add another dimension for him.
What's the confidence level that you've been around this team for a couple of weeks, the confidence level with this team going into the season?
Yeah, you look at it and the veterans, I think Francisco Lindor kind of said it right almost the first week of camp, maybe it was the second week of camp, where he talked about the expectation in there is to win. And, he cited, last year there probably weren't externally too many people that thought the Arizona Diamondbacks were, or the Texas Rangers were, teams that would go to the World Series. But you could bet in those clubhouses the players believed they could do it. And, we saw it at the end of the year that a couple of teams that put it together. Now the Mets, the Mets should believe they can compete, because you look at that lineup. You have Alonso back, you have Lindor back, you have Nimmo back, you have Alvarez. You have a lot of nice pieces there. This isn't a team that's been stripped down to nothing. And, I think there's a confidence level in that room that they can do it.
I agree with you. I mean, if you listen to the fan base, which is always negative, you would think Eric Campbell's at first, John Mayberry Jr. is in the outfield, Josh Tolley's catching, Chico Walker's in center field. I mean, this lineup is nothing to sneeze at.
Right. And, the X factor, obviously. Now, Jeff McNeil had a rough most of the season, then he started turning it on again in the last couple of months and looked like himself again. That's, and Alvarez, let's see how much better he is with a full season under his belt. And, we're going to have to see what comes out of that third base position with Beatty and Vientos. And Vientos hit a couple of balls really hard today in the game against the Cardinals. You look at the lineup and there's pieces there that makes you think it could be a legitimate lineup. The big question is obviously that starting rotation.
Now, speaking of third base, is it safe to say the Mets want Beatty to be the starting third baseman, Vientos to run with the DH job, and let's go?
Yeah, I think they want Beatty out there most of the time, if not all of the time. Vientos is intriguing because of his bat, but I have a hard time envisioning him playing third base on any kind of regular basis here. Beatty's more natural at the position, and that's the way I would see it breaking down, where Beatty's your starter at third base, and Vientos is in that DH mix.
Now, please, I know J.D. Davis got released, and I see some Met fans want him back. But, I mean, they killed the guy, and now they want him back.
Yeah, J.D., there's been, I think Mets fans want every J.D. except maybe Salinger. I don't know, J.D. Martinez 1 week, J.D. Davis today, but... Listen, Davis might be a good fit, but at the same time, if you really want to take a look at Mark Vientos here, you can't bring J.D. Davis
no.
or J.D. Martinez or J.D. Hogg or anybody here.
J.D. Drew. None of
there we go. J.D. Drew.
And you brought up J.D. Salinger. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
I think he's a catcher, isn't he?
I haven't heard that name in a long time. Speaking of Jeff McNeil, is this something we need to keep a close eye on and worry about as Mets fans, or this is just nothing to really be concerned about?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be a little bit vigilant about it just because he hasn't been out there playing games yet, and he's still got to build up to the point where, he's probably at least a week away. I think Mets fans can exhale once he starts getting into games. And then, McNeil says it's nothing. We'll see. There'll be time for him to get the at-bats if he can, but he's got to stick to that timetable here of getting in a game in the next week to 10 days, obviously, because March 28th is opening day.
Yeah, I think the Ronnie Mauricio injury really, really killed this Met roster in terms of flexibility. I think they had big plans for him, and then to go out in a freak accident and get hurt, I think that really hurt this team.
Yeah, and I think he would have really had a good shot at getting the third base job if he was here. Team officials, they were very high on his athleticism.
I love him. I think he's better than Vientos. I've said it for a long time, better than Vientos, better than Beatty. Alvarez, obviously, is the top baby Met, but Ronnie Mauricio, if he ever puts it together, that's 30 home runs automatically, in my opinion.
He's fun to watch, and he hasn't played much third base at all, but you have to think he would have adjusted to it, and it's really a shame. Best case scenario, maybe you get him back in September. I don't even know if you can really think in those terms, but really a wasted chance here with him.
Yeah, for sure. A couple more from me. Do you think, position battles, is there any position battles we should be keeping an eye on? Because it seems like the roster is pretty much set.
Yeah, the back of the bullpen, there's a couple of spots, but, that's not too sexy, really. One thing I might keep an eye on is the lefty DH, just because DJ Stewart's got options, can go back to the minor leagues, and G-Man Choi has looked pretty good. So, maybe Choi forces the conversation a little bit. you know, coming in. Stewart really hasn't hit much in camp. But, you know, that's something maybe to keep an eye on. And then, you know, you get the bullpen spots with one guy who's looked really good is Sean Reed Foley, who might have a shot to get one of those last couple of jobs. But as far as the starting jobs, I think that's kind of decided. And, you know, you know, like Joey Wendell's going to be your backup infielder. You know Tyrone Taylor's going to be your fourth outfielder. So there's not a lot there.
Do you think the Mets end up adding another starting pitcher like a Michael Lorenzen, or you don't see any of that happen unless a injury happens?
Yeah, probably not at this point, just because, you know, and I haven't mentioned this guy because Tyler McGill's been looked so good, but, you know, Jose Budo has also looked very good here in camp, and he's, you know, and Lucchesi's barely pitched. Now they gotta build up his pitch count. They want to take a better look at him, but he, you know, his start got rained out last week, and then he was only pitched one inning in a minor league game Thursday, so he's barely pitched. But you know, Jose Budo has looked pretty good in camp, and then you got Lucchesi. So I think you have some decent internal options here that you want to take a look at and want to have them in position to kind of see what you have here, because these are guys that are you know, still under club control, and you know, Budo's even a guy whose name came up at one point potentially for the bullpen if they wanted to go that route with him, maybe as a multi-inning guy. So, but I think they want to. I think they want to keep him stretched out, and I don't know that there's a pressing need to go out and sign another starter like you mentioned, Lorenzen, somebody like that. So I think they're gonna just keep it in house for now.
If you had to put a number on it, Mets end up with how many wins to end the season?
I'm thinking low 80s, 81, 82, something like that. I'm kind of on board with what Vegas is saying about them, and then I think Pecota had them at 83 the last time I looked. So, you know, I would say low 80s and probably potentially right in the mix for that last wild card berth, but. You know, you never know what it's going to be. Last year, you know, the Diamondbacks got it with 84, and the Phillies the year before that were in that same area. So, but it might be, this also could be a year where you need 88 or 89 to get that third wild card. So I would expect the Mets to be right in the mix, but just not, you know, certainly not a powerhouse that's going to compete with the Braves.
No, I'm not looking at him as a powerhouse needs, especially last year, after last season. I don't want that. I don't want to do that to myself. Not even close. They're not even close. But the Diamondbacks and Phillies have shown, and this is what Mets fans should look to, is just get in.
Yeah, then that's it. Because once you get in, the whole thing resets, and, you know, you become that hot team. It doesn't matter how many games you won in the regular season. So if you get in, you've got as good a shot as anybody.
All right, last one from me, Mike. This is probably the $250 to $300 million question. Is Pete Alonso a Met in 2025?
I would answer that by saying I think it depends on what kind of year he has. If he has a season like last year where, yeah, he hit a lot of homers. He had 46 homers last year, but, you know, it wasn't a great year when you look at, you know, some of his other numbers. You know, I think there's a good chance he's elsewhere. If he goes out, crushes it, has a monster season, I think there's a good chance there's going to be a lot of pressure on the organization to re-sign him. I think there's a good chance he is a Met next season. So I'll just hedge it by saying it's going to depend on what kind of year he has. I think that we'll tell the story if he's a Met in 2025.
See, me, I think he's going to be a Met because of the fact Steve Cohen said that he wants to build around homegrown talent. And he'd look like a huge hypocrite, and this fan base would turn on him in a heartbeat if Pete goes out there, does well, and he doesn't bring him back.
Yeah, and obviously, though, he's also paying David Stearns $10 million a
True.
Year for his opinion, too. So that's going to weigh into it heavily. You know, all it takes is one desperate team to potentially overpay for Alonso more than the Mets are comfortable going. So, it's going to be interesting to watch.
Mike, thanks for the time. I look forward to doing it again during the baseball season.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.